following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
My son and I did a little work yesterday walking around our house and collecting flashlights all over our entire house. How many flashlights do you think were in the Wilson home yesterday? Somebody, how many? 21, 10, 32. 32 flashlights. I don't know why anyone needs 32 flashlights, but we have 32 flashlights. Here's why I think we need 32 flashlights. There's flashlights for every occasion. This one I just got for Christmas from these two down here sitting, and this one is good for all purposes. You need to fix something in your backyard late at night. This will light up your backyard. You have a flat tire in your car. You need to change. This will light up everything. This is actually too bright if you put it in your eyes. If you need to go to the bathroom at night and you don't want to step on the cat, the handheld flashlight is the way to go. I've got one of those. If you're hiking late at night, or maybe you start in the day but it goes a little late and you're afraid you're not going to make it back to your tent, you put one of these things on your head and you can see all the way back. I actually use this around the house too when you need freedom of hands to do the work. You have to throw that on. This came into our home. Bethany, every year, will fill stockings with flashlights to remind our kids that Jesus is the light of the world. So there you go. We got quite a few of those. This one I am so thankful for. It's not a flashlight, but it's a reading light, because my wife has to read before she goes to bed at night. And the light being on just makes it so hard to sleep. So she clips this onto her book. So this has been a marriage saver. So thankful for that one. Flashlights all over the... This one right here goes into our closet so that when I get up early in the morning and she's still asleep or vice versa, we can click this on and we can kind of see what we're going to wear that day. So pretty helpful. Listen, 32 flashlights. I mean, that is too many. I'll go ahead and go with you on that. But there's reasons for that. Here's the central reason. We all know what it's like to walk in the dark. We've all been there. We've all bumped into things, stubbed our toe. We try to get from one end of the garage to the other, and we just say, maybe I'm going to try to do this without light, right? And we end up inevitably running into something. So the light, we know, permeates, goes through the darkness. It lights up what is in front of us so that we can see it. So helpful. So that's why 32 flashlights. Did you know this? Jesus makes this radical claim in Scripture. Here's what he says. Jesus says this: I am the light of the world. Jesus makes this awesome claim. He says this: I am the light of the world. Take a look what he says in John chapter 8. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I am going to be that light that comes into the world, and whoever follows me, they won't have to walk in darkness. Instead, they'll walk in the light, and that light will be the light of life. Now, here's one of the awesome things I see as I walk around Refuge, and I see this. And certainly, Maynard and David were a big part of the light that we demonstrate here at Refuge. But this is a family, and one of the things I so appreciate about Bill is that he brings that to life up here. In the sense that David and Maynard, they are family. They are part of our family, so we grieve together. I don't know if you do that in other churches. I've only really ever been here, right? That when someone passes, well, we talk about it, and we say, listen, these were our family members, because they were light and life in this place for so many years. We love them. We care for them. And that's demonstrated here. But listen, it's demonstrated amongst you all. In fact, this last week, our video team put together kind of a recap of 2018. I thought, man, what a perfect example of the light you all are and the family that you all are. So would you take a look at this video that I think demonstrates well the light and life of Refuge? I will just say, if you are looking for that church family, that church home, maybe you don't have one of those, we love to make this your home. I will just warn you, we are so imperfect. We are not a perfect family. We are not perfect at doing what we're called to do. But we are a group of people who are just trying to shine the light of Christ. And we're trying to do that as best as we can to be as most genuine of who we are. And I hope that if you are looking for a church family, this would be one of those places that you would consider home. And more than that, that you consider this as part of the family. Why? Because that's who Jesus called us to be. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world, right? He says, I am the light of the world. Come into this world that you might have light and life. And then he says of his followers, you then reflect me. You become the light of the world. We are buckets full of light. That's what we are. All of us for different purposes and different reasons. We all have a purpose. And we then are to shine that light to the people around us. And I'm thankful to be a part of a family that does that. Now, to understand what he means by light, it goes deeper than just optical light that we're seeing in this room or that my flashlights in this bucket over here will give us. This light is in some ways is an allegory. It has a deeper meaning. It's a picture with a deeper meaning. When he talks about light, what he's talking about is the things of God. What he's talking about is the things of God. In other words, he's talking about God's holiness, his goodness, his will. Psalm 119 says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is a light, his truth. In fact, as believers in Jesus, you become sons of light, the scripture says. You become sons of that light. You are connected with Jesus in the regards of being sons of light. Romans 13 says that we need to put on the armor of light. So in all these ways, what he's saying, the idea of light is that you begin to walk in the ways of God and you reflect the things of God, his truths and his will and his peace and his patience. In fact, last week in John chapter 1, verse 4, Pastor Bill taught on 1 through 5. If you missed that, it's just the beginning of John in our series. And we're going to go all the way through John. You don't want to miss last week's. So just go to refugefamily.com. Make sure you listen to that message. That'll catch you up to speed to where we're at in our second week of going through John. But one of the things that Pastor Bill brought up last week was John chapter 1, verse 4. Here's what it says. If you're there, you can read with me. It says this, in him was life, that's in Jesus, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or the darkness did not overcome it. In other words, Jesus came into the world, and the light shined forth from Jesus, and the darkness could not hold it back. The darkness could not overcome the light of Jesus entering into the world. And so we're going to talk about that light now. Now, here's the cool thing about John. When we look at the book of John, we are hearing from a guy who had firsthand experience with Jesus, the light of the world. In fact, John probably sat around a campfire with Jesus and kind of debriefed on the day of ministry. He heard insights into what Jesus may have been thinking and what he was doing. Jesus, why did you respond to the lady that way? We don't even usually talk to ladies. But you did, and you loved him, the woman at the well, right? And Jesus, give us more insight into what are you talking about? Jesus invited John to be part of one of those 12. In fact, John is actually in the inner circle of the three, Peter, James, and John, who oftentimes would have the most intimate conversations with Jesus as they would get away and escape. And we get to read about that John here and what John wrote. In fact, John is there even after the resurrection. He knows Jesus before he dies on the cross. He knows Jesus after he rose from the dead. And he's part of that early church movement. So can you imagine, as he's thinking about the things that Jesus said and how they correspond with what's going on in the church in that first century, John has deep insights. So when we get to study the book of John, it's kind of exciting because we're listening, hey, I want to know more about what you have to say about the light of the world. And if you missed last week, here's why he wrote, look at John chapter 20, verse 30. It says this, now Jesus did many other signs, John would say, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It would have taken me too much in some ways, John is saying. But listen, here's why I did write, verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe, what? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. In other words, I'm taking the time to pen, to write this, so that you would believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And in that belief, you would have life. Why? Because Jesus came into the world as the light of the world to reveal God to us. incarnate. John chapter 1, verse 6. He's going to talk about another John, a pre-runner to Jesus. This is going to be John the Baptist. Now, we got to just clear it in our heads before we go on, right? There's John the Apostle, right? Was with Jesus, walked with him, right? Was part of the discipleship process. Intimate, right? The three, Peter, James, and John, the Apostle John. Then, listen, there's John the Baptist. He's a different John. John the Apostle is writing this. He's going to now write about John the Baptist, all right? So we're going to read about John the Baptist here in verse 6. Look what he says. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist, right? That's the Baptist. Verse 7. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might what? Believe. Believe is going to be a huge subject in the book of John. So his coming that all through him might believe. Verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, when we see the words, God sent John, that's a pretty big deal. We should pay attention to that. God sent Moses. God sent any number of the prophets with a divine word at just the right time, at the appointed time, with God's divine plan. These people would speak into the lives of those people and say, this is what God is doing. This is what God has to say. And here we read these words. It says that John, the Baptist, was sent by God for such a time as this. Now, the miraculous works surrounding John the Baptist are pretty incredible. You might know this. John the Baptist comes from Elizabeth, his mom. Elizabeth was well advanced in years. She'd never been able to have babies, but God opens her womb, and now he gives him John. The other thing, too, if you remember, is that he comes from a dad who was visited by an angel. Do you remember this from the Christmas story? That John the Baptist, an angel came to his dad and said, listen, your wife's going to have a baby, right? Kind of a big deal. And not just any angel. The angel who? Do you remember? Gabriel comes to John the Baptist's dad. In fact, he doesn't just come to him. He comes with this message. Take a look at the message. Luke 1, verse 16. And he will turn many of their children of Israel back to their God, their Lord, their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn hearts of their fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist, he says, your son, who your wife is going to have here, is going to do something powerful and awesome in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now, they're waiting for Elijah to come, for the Christ to come. And he's saying, listen, John is going to make ready the way for the coming of the Lord for us this morning. That's the coming of the light, the coming of Jesus. Your son is going to make ready the way for the Messiah and the Christ, says the angel Gabriel. Not only that, I don't know if you remember this powerful moment in John the Baptist's life. He's a little baby in the womb, right? He's in his mom's womb, and he meets Mary, right? Do you remember this? And Mary has the Savior in her womb, right? Little baby Jesus in the womb, right? And there's this encounter that goes on, and do you remember what John does? He does the Jesus jump, right? He jumps for Jesus inside this womb. And even in the womb, he's a pre-runner, a herald of this light of the world that would come in. And God is saying, I sent him for this purpose. One more that I think is so powerful for us to recognize, that God is doing something through John the Baptist. All four Gospels point to Isaiah 40, verse 3, as John being this pre-runner to the Messiah or to the way of the Lord. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, which, by the way, happened 700 years prior to John coming, right? Prior to the birth of Jesus and John, is this prophecy that says this in Isaiah 40, verse 3. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, all four Gospels says that was speaking of John the Baptist, who is a pre-runner to Jesus. Now, some people may have said, and in the first century, this probably happened, maybe John's that one. Maybe John is the Messiah. I mean, the angel Gabriel, the fulfillment of prophecy. Maybe John is the Messiah. Maybe he's the light, which our gospel writer here, John in verse 6, says he was what? Not the light. He was not the light. And John actually spends a lifetime saying, I'm not the light. Remember, he says at one point, someone is coming whose sandals I'm not fit even to tie, right? There's someone coming so much greater than me. John is always pointing to Jesus. Now, here's the reality. Probably, I'm guessing most of you, your fathers did not have an angel come and visit them and tell them you were about ready to be born. Anyone? I'm guessing. No? Some of you? One? Okay. Two of you. All right. No, I'm just kidding. Nobody, right? That probably didn't happen and probably definitely wasn't the angel Gabriel that came. And some of us might then say to ourselves, well, we didn't have all that. How are we supposed to preach like John preached or herald the gospel like John heralded the gospel? The reality is, but that we are called to do that. That's who we are. As the people of the light, as sons of light, as daughters of light, one of the callings that is put on us is the same calling that John had, right? Go out and make ready the way of the Lord, that the light has come into the world and the light is going to return. Jesus is coming back. And one of the callings that each one of us have is that we are to go out and proclaim this news. And for many of you, you will be the first step, the pre-runner for people's faith in coming to know the Lord, of joining the family of God. That you don't even know that this morning. You don't know the person that you're going to run into, that you will be a pre-runner for their faith. But all of us are called to preach that gospel, to go out and share the word of God and the light of Christ to people. And that's what John did. John does that here. He was the forerunner for Christ. He went out and proclaimed the good news. In fact, Jesus will later go on to say in John chapter 5, check this out. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, describes John, and how great it would be if we had this description. John 5:35, it says this, he was a burning and shining lamp. Jesus says of John the Baptist, when I think of John, I think of a burning and shining lamp. May that be said of us. When I think of Jeff, when he walked the face of the earth, he was a burning and shining lamp for me. How awesome would that be that, Jeff, you never let the darkness prevail. Jeff, when you walked out, you were a burning and shining lamp for me. And may that be said of you, that Jesus would say that of us, of refuge. When I look at refuge, I see burning and shining lamps for me. How incredible that reality would be should he call us to that. Now, here's why it's so important. Here's why Jesus, the light of the world, is so important. Look what it says in verse 9. And he's talking of Jesus here. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. I'll read that again. That's John chapter 1, verse 9. It says this, that Jesus was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. What does he mean by the true light? Other people might come and they might proclaim that they're great and they're good and they can do this for you. They might share wise opinion and wisdom and all these things. But Jesus is saying, listen, they will all pass away. I am the true light. I am the true representation of the Father. In fact, the Bible goes on to say in Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. I don't know if you know that. That the scriptures point to Jesus as the image of the invisible God. So when we say he is the true light, he is the true light reflecting our Heavenly Father as he walks amongst us. We say, listen, look to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:3 says this, Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. To know Jesus, listen, is to know God. To know God is to know Jesus. They're one and the same. So when Jesus says, I've come as the light into the world, in fact, here in verse 9, he says, I am the true light, then what he's saying is, I am God, come to dwell amongst you. Emmanuel, right? God with us. So when we say Jesus saying he's the true light, we look to Jesus to know our Heavenly Father. It says this, and he gives true light to every man. Now, there's different opinions on what he means by giving light to every man. Some say, listen, that's general revelation in the idea that Jesus came into the world, he started spreading light that reaches to all mankind to some extent. It's definitely not saving light because we know not everyone gets saved. So this idea may be kind of like in a Romans 1:20 kind of way, that man would be without excuse because of creation and all the things that man gets to behold and see. They would draw back to the Lord again. In the same way, Jesus says, I am that light that broke into the world that man would know God, Emmanuel, God with us. And that light would begin to spread throughout all of mankind for all time. That would be maybe a general revelation idea. However, I will just say, Jesus was very specific, right? That Jesus didn't leave us at general revelation. He takes it another step and says, listen, actually, I'm going to be the light to all of mankind, that when I break in and you encounter me, you will see light. There will be a newness about you. You will see things that maybe you once dwelled in darkness, but now you will dwell in light. That when you and I come across Jesus, when he speaks and directs us, when we encounter his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are opened up to that light, oftentimes we need to do what? Repent. And we need to turn back to him. When he exposes the darkness within us, because he is like that flashlight that permeates through the darkness oh so well, there are times when we need to say, yeah, I need to repent. I need to turn back to you again, Lord. That remember when you were just maybe a baby Christian and you were coming to the Lord and somebody preached something, you're like, oh, that convicted me, right? And you said, I can't leave this place. I can't leave this place until I turn my life back to the Lord again or for the first time. That I'm hearing these words and they're penetrating me. That's the light. That's the holiness of God coming through. And he's saying, listen, Jeff, join my family. Turn back to me. Turn to me for the first time. That's the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And Jesus saying, I am the true light, the genuine light for all man, that I will walk in truth and they will see it. And there will be times and moments in their life where they have no other choice but to say, God, I repent and I turn my lives back to you again. It's that presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the presence of light in our world. There's a story about a captain. It says, one foggy night, the captain of a large ship saw what appeared to be another ship's light approaching in the distance. The other ship was on course that would mean a head-on collision. Quickly, the captain signaled to the approaching ship, please change your course 10 degrees west. The reply came back blinking through the thick fog, you change your course 10 degrees east. Indignant, the captain pulled rank and shot a message back to the other ship. I am a sea captain with 35 years experience. Change your course 10 degrees west. Without hesitation, the signal flashed back. I am a seaman, fourth class. You change your course 10 degrees east. In a rage, the captain realized they were approaching. There would quickly be a head-on collision. So he blazed his final warning. I am a 50,000-ton freighter. Change your course 10 degrees west. A simple message winked back. I am a lighthouse. You change your course. So true. So true. Jesus, listen, he is the lighthouse. And he is reaching out in light, in perfect light, in genuine light. And he's saying, Jeff, or anyone here this morning, change your course. You're heading for a straight-on collision to an immovable force. That is truth. That is life. Don't continue to hit. As soon as you hit with the wrong motives, the wrong heart, the wrong intentions, you will run aground. And so Jesus, like that lighthouse, is pointing out, saying, change your course to some of us this morning. Change your course. Walk in newness of life. Turn to the light. Step out of darkness. I imagine some this morning would say, listen, I didn't know about darkness. I felt it. I didn't know about it. But now I hear about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus coming and says, I am the light of the world. I am God coming to you and saying, listen, change your course. Some of you maybe for the first time this morning would say, yeah, maybe that makes sense. I want to walk this out with the Lord. And some of us maybe this morning made that commitment to say, I'm going to follow Jesus, but we've walked back into darkness. And this morning he would say, listen, come back to the light. Come back to the light. Step back into the light again. Step out of darkness. Repent. Turn to me. And I will accept you with open arms. My desire is that you would walk with me in the fullness of life. If you are my child, that you would walk in the fullness of life. But here's the reality. Actually, in John 3:18, take a look what it says. He who believes in him is not condemned. There's our B word again, right? Believe, believe. John's all about believing. We're going to see that through his gospel. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is why we have trouble. This is why the difficulties arise. That the light has come into the world, that's Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light. Men love darkness rather than following Jesus. Because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The question is do we love the light? Do we love Jesus? Do we love to walk in his ways? And if we are followers of him, that will be our path. We will at times get off track, but we'll turn back to him and we'll say, Jesus, your ways are better. Your ways are truth and life and light. Listen to this other passage, John 1:5. And again, we'll go into more detail as we study through John. But here's 1 John 1:5. It says, this is the message which came and heard from him and declared to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And this is what he says in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Oh, yeah. I'm a follower, but I don't walk in the light. This Bible is saying, listen, that's a lie. That I need to walk in the truth. That if I've gone away from him, the Spirit's going to impact my heart and my soul. And he's going to say, listen, Jeff, turn back to me again. Turn back. Get out of the darkness. I see you. Right? Jeff, I see you. You can't hide from me. Turn back to me again. I don't want to be someone who says, I believe and not live like I believe. Listen to what he says. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, your faith matters. It takes effect. That as you walk in him, you put your faith in him, and you walk in that light, guess what? Jesus says, I got you. Your sins are covered. As you walk in the life, as I am in the light, walk. But here's the sad reality, because John moves on here, and he says there's two groups of people. There's those people who won't ever come. They'll reject him. And we read that in Scripture, because they love evil or they love darkness, and they stay away from Jesus. And then there's another group that says, I'll receive him. And so he closes off this text to say, listen, look at verse 10. He, that's Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. We talked about that last week. The world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. In other words, he came home to his own people, the Jews at the time. And they said, listen, we don't have room for you in this place. Yeah, we see the miracles. The Bible says he taught like no one ever taught. We see that. Like we see death and resurrection, somebody who is dead rose from the dead. We don't have space for you in this world religion, in this type of religion. We don't have you. We don't want to follow you. We don't receive you, is what he said. Crazy, right? That they missed it. But here, let's take it to the first century. Let's take it to now, from the first century, that we're living in Huntington Beach, and there's light in buckets of light. God is reaching out to people all around us and saying, listen, follow me. And people are saying, no, you don't fit into my reality. You don't fit into my logic. You don't fit into my space, right? That I don't have room for you. And some will just say, listen, I don't follow. I just, it's not who I am. And others would say, listen, actually, if I decide I'm going to follow truth and light, that means I have to stop doing things. There's things in my life that I just don't want to let go of. And in the same vein, in the first century, there were probably people who were like, man, if I follow Jesus, that means I got to give up some things, right? I got to walk in the light. And I don't want to walk in the light. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to hold on to these things. And Jesus is saying, listen, there will be people who decide that. But listen, I want you to follow me. I want you to be light and life. I want you to walk out this life with me. And Jesus says, listen, there are going to be people who decide not to do that. And I would just say, this is why refuge exists. This is why we're here. That the people of this place will go out and spread that light and truth and really show who the Lord is, his grace, his mercy, his love, his kindness, his light. And that the life that is lived for him is not a wasted life at all. In fact, it's the best possible life, the best possible marriage, the best possible work partner, companion, right? The best possible grandpa or grandma, the best possible college student, son or daughter, that is the best life when it's lived with Christ. And in fact, this is so true. We live in a world that people are confused and there's darkness and there's questions about eternity and what happens there and what happens. And you all have the answer. It's the light of Christ. It's here. We read it. And refuge exists for this purpose. And should those people ever walk into this building and experience you as a family, and the Word of God is taught, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's this movement to say, listen, come to the light. Walk in the light. Follow Jesus. He is the true light of the world. Then our purpose will be accomplished. Because that's the reason, the sole reason why we exist, is that people would come to know him. They would encounter the light. So that's the first group, the people who are just going to say, no, not for me. It doesn't fit into my box, right? Then there's a second group of people, and this is where John closes off our text this morning, verse 12. Here's what it says. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. There's our B word again. Believe in his name. In other words, what he's saying there is believing is not merely an intellectual assent or a phrase that we say. Believe here is a deeper work of the Spirit on your heart. It's not just agreement with doctrinal facts. I could put a bunch of doctrinal facts on a board and you could say, yes, 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 I agree with that, but nothing ever changed in your heart. What he's saying is belief is the trust or reliance upon Jesus Christ, that my life is revolving around him, that he is my everything. And I will just give you, because some of you are thinking, is he really my everything? Is he my everything? We all need to be reminded that he's our everything on a regular basis. We all need to be reminded, hey, don't step off that path. Don't go that direction. We all need that. So you're human like me. You're not in the wrong place. You're in the right place. And so we encourage each other. We build each other up and we say, listen, Jeff, are you walking? Yeah, I'm walking. Are you walking in the light? Yeah, I'm walking in the light. I need to get back in. Would you pray for me? We encourage each other in this regard. Believing is so much deeper than just saying a phrase, but it's this heart work that God does inside of us to draw unto himself. But listen to what happens when someone believes in his name. Do you see what he says there? Status change, right? You become this title, child of God. Child of God. Pause for a moment. Think about that. The creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the most powerful being ever, right? He says, Jeff, I want you to be my child. I want you to walk with me. I want you to experience my truth and my life. Imagine that. He says the same thing to you. He says, I want you to walk with me. I want you to experience me. I want you to have a relationship with me. Well, how do I do that, Lord? How do I do that? Is there a formula? No. He says, listen, believe in his name. Believe in the one that I sent. Believe in the light of the world, in Jesus, who came and walked amongst you. Believe that his death and his resurrection meant something. Believe that I am calling you through that name to save you, to add you into my eternal family forever. Yes, this church family, for sure, awesome, love it, right? Get to be around other believers, encouraged and strengthened. But ultimately, think about eternal family. something so much bigger. And God says, I want to call you and draw you in to be a child of God. Well, how does that happen? Look at verse 12 once again. I'm going to close in verse 13. It says this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, keep going, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, this is a different kind of born. This is some of a phrase that got coined that is born again, right? And I've had some people be like, oh, I'm not one of those born again Christians. It's like, but you got to be, right? That's one of the important things, born again. So here's what that means, simply put. It's all of us, 100% of us, yes, for sure, were physically born at one point, right? Anybody not physically born? Yeah, we all came through a mother's womb, physically born. He would say that was born of the blood, born of the flesh, born of the will of man. But there's another kind of born that he's talking about here. He goes more into detail, and we will too, in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. And he says, listen, you have to be born again. That's spiritually born. In fact, just turn with me to John chapter 3 real quick. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, he's talking to a Pharisee. John chapter 3, verse 4. There's this guy, Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus at night, wants to have a conversation with him. And he asks this question, which I think is so pertinent for us this morning. Here's what he says. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus is like, no, no, you can't. That's impossible. That's not going to happen. So then what kind of born are you talking about here, Jeff? What's the kind of born that he talks? Look at what he goes on. Jesus says in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want to be a child of God. I want to enter the kingdom of God. Got to be born of water and the Spirit. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the human bornness. And that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. So then how do I get born of Spirit? I want to be born again. And it all comes back to this B word that we've been talking about all morning. We'll keep talking about it. It's belief and trust in the name of Jesus. That is God's economy. He says, I will move you from lost to found. I will move you from not part of the family to part of the family. You will become a child of God by what you do with believing, trusting, putting your faith in Jesus. He says that is how you join this family. And this close, verse 16, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the light of the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Wow, I thought that's what the church was for, right? I thought they were here to condemn us. No, he says, listen, they're lights. You are to be lights of the world. He didn't come to condemn the world through his Son, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's the goal. That's our purpose. That's what we dwell on this earth for. Number one, I would just say this morning, maybe you're someone who said, I was a believer back in the day. I went to youth group, or I used to go to church, or I've been away for so long. And I would just say, Jesus is saying, come back into the light again. Walk with him again. Pick up the word of God. Spend time with it. Allow him to just shine his everlasting light into you and allow him to begin to do heart work on you. Lord, we all need that at times. The Lord is so faithful in doing that. Allow him to do that. Maybe you're here for the first time. And this is all new to you. And you've heard of the church. And you know who Jesus is. But maybe for the first time you're saying, listen, I need that light in my life. Maybe now like never before. There's this circumstance, there's these situations in my life where I just feel like I can't do this on my own. I need that light in my life. Maybe that's you here this morning. And I will just say, turn to him. He is a gracious and loving Father who loves deeply and would draw you into relationship. And guess what? Even in that moment where you say, yes, I need you, Lord, he will not be done with you. He will continue to demonstrate his love, his graciousness, and his kindness to you over and over again. Amen? Has anybody experienced that before? Amen? I'm going to have Shannon come up, and I'm going to close in prayer. God, I believe this morning you, and all through this weekend, Lord, you're doing heart work here at Refuge. Lord, you are exposing us to the light, your Son, Jesus Christ. You're exposing us to your word, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, I believe that you've done work here in this place. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would continue that work. Lord, I pray there would be a refining that goes on in our lives that can only be done by you, that can only be done by your Spirit through your word. Lord, I pray you do that in this place. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that would just call on you, I pray they would do that before they leave. Lord, that they would, we're going to have people up here in a little bit to pray. Lord, that they'd come and just pray with those people and give their lives over to you. Maybe they came with someone, Lord, who's already a Christian, who's already walking. They would just turn to that person and say, I need that heart work. I want what he's talking about. Lord, I really feel like you're going to do that work in this place this morning. So we turn our lives over to you. Lord, may we be lights that shine bright for you in our families, as husbands, as wives, as roommates. Lord, I pray that we do that in our work, at school, wherever we go. Lord, that we just shine that light bright for you. Amen. Let's do this, right? Somebody at the first service is like, hey, you got a bucket up there that says, let's do this. This is a line that you can't let go, right? So I would just say, in the bright orange bucket sort of way, let's do this. Let's walk out of this place and honor him, turn from darkness, turn to light, and say, Lord, I'm ready to be used by you. However you want to use me this week, you want me to shine in whatever way, I want to be that for you this week. I want to see people come to know you and walk with you, the light of the world. Amen? Amen. Have a great rest of your week.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.